God, we just thank you that we can bring Lesotho before you, Lord. We just want to thank you that you have done awesome things already in that nation. But Lord, that there's still so many people that don't know you, Lord. We thank you for our team that's there. We thank you for open doors today to minister your gospel in the churches where they're going to minister, Lord. And just when they minister this week, we thank you that we can pray your anointing over them, God. That they would move in your spirit, Lord, that they wouldn't do good works, Lord, but they would simply do what you want them to do. Good works that you have appointed for them, God. Not just any good works. And we thank you, Father, that you protect them. We thank you that you're with them right now, Lord, and that you inspire them, God, in Jesus' name. We just bring the whole nation of Lesotho before you. We thank you for many ministries there, Lord, many people that are laboring for your kingdom, God. We thank you that your kingdom is busy coming, that it won't be called the kingdom of Lesotho, but it will be called the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Jesus. We just bless you, Father. And from the top of the mountains to the depths of the valleys in that nation, that you want to move. That you want to touch lives, bring life.
Feels perfect. Other days it just ain't working. The good, the bad, the right, the wrong, and everything in between. Yo, it's crazy, amazing. We can turn our heart through the words we say. Mountains crumble with every syllable. Broken, live or die. So speak life.
Isn't that a cool song? Amen. It's wonderful to have you guys here this morning. Good morning. So great to be in the house of the Lord. So this morning I'm going to talk about speak life. Amen. We're going to do church a little bit differently this morning. So turn to someone next to you and just shake them and say, are you excited? Because you're not going to be sitting on this chair for too long. Amen. So I'm really excited for what God wants to do this morning, but I woke up this morning with a sense of, you know, that feeling when like the day has arrived, it's almost not quite like your wedding day, but sort of like an expectation that something has been in your heart for a while. You've had a dream and it's basically coming true. It's busy happening like right before your eyes. And so this morning, I think some of you know it, but I've been on this for a while with the Lord now, probably about a year now, where God's given me a vision for this awesome province that we live in called the Vrystaat. Who's proud of the Vrystaat? God has just laid it on my heart to do a prayer mission. So you can just show the map there, please, Mariska. So a year ago, God spoke to me about this awesome province of ours, and that God wanted us as a church to really start to take ownership of the province of the Free State and to do a Jericho march or a prayer march or whatever. And I was trying to think, asking the Lord, how must this happen now? How must we run? You know, it's quite a distance. It's 2,000 and something, just over 2,000 kilometers around the Free State. And must we do this on our feet, or must we walk, or must we cycle, or must we just go by, you know, the internal combustion engine and the wheel kind of go well together? Amen. I mean, most of us don't cycle. We drive in cars. And so the Lord said, you know, for this year, it's like a pioneering mission where I believe we're going to do this a couple of years, and I believe next year we might go onto bikes or, you know, do a running thing. But God has asked us as a church and asked me specifically to really start what I really believe is going to make a difference in this province, and that's to really do a prayer walk, a prophetic march, or not a walk, a prayer march around the the borders of the Free State. So we're starting today, five of us, myself and Haynes and Jan and Marguerite, and then a lady from Bultfontein called Matty Marks. We're going to pick her up tonight and sleep over in Bultfontein. So basically what we're going to do for the next 8 days is we're going to drive from Bloemfontein this morning after church. Then we're going to go to Kimberley and just spend some time with the people there and have lunch there, and then go on to Bultfontein via all those other places, and then go to Potchefstroom on Monday night and sleep over with the church there. And then to go on to Standerton. Obviously, Standerton and Potch are not quite in the Free State, but they're literally 50, 60 k's from the border. So it's significant that we have churches just on the outside of the Free State. So we'll stay over in Standerton Tuesday night, and then basically go to Clarence on Wednesday night and camp there, and camp at Zastron on Thursday night, and then go to Gariep Dam at the Forever Resort campsite. Apparently it's full for this weekend, so there's lots of souls that we can minister to. And then we're going to go to Jakobsdal on Saturday evening, and then end off again with Kimberley next Sunday morning, where we can just have a fellowship or a little service for the people that are there, and then end up in Bloemfontein next Sunday evening again. So basically, I'm so excited about this. I'm so excited what God is going to do. We're going to pray at very specific places. We're going to pray at the main highways going in and out of the Free State. We're going to pray at all the water courses. There's an incredible lot of amount of water, not lots, but there are main water dams, the Fall Dam and the Gariep Dam and all these dams that are surrounding the Free State, which is quite significant. So we're just trusting the Lord to really show us lots of things on this mission, and to really meet with people. We don't just want to pray. We're not called to be a holy huddle and just to pray. We're really called to speak life, and we're called to minister to people and to bring hope and to bring the life of Jesus into this province. So I'm so excited about it. I know God is going to do awesome things. It's really a step of faith. It's not something that we kind of plan to the T, because we don't know what's going to happen every day. We don't know what God is going to do, who He's going to bring across our path. Obviously, we're meeting certain people where we're sleeping over, but other than that, we're just going to drive about 300 k's per day, stop where we need to stop, pray. We're even going to take a spitfirke, those forks. You know, we're going to physically dig ground. One of the people felt we must really physically sort of dig the ground and loosen the ground in the natural, that we trust God will loosen the ground in the spirit, that many people can come to salvation, to know Jesus. So I really want to ask you guys, thanks so much for all the people that are praying for us. It's awesome to have so many prayer partners, because we know not everyone can go, but everyone can pray where you are. So pray for us every day. Send us now. That's what we're gonna leave right after church. But we're gonna actually start this morning in right here in Bloemfontein and actually do a prayer walk around the school now. So not now, but just in a few minutes' time. So I'll tell you a bit more about that. But before we do that, I just want to share a few thoughts from the book of Isaiah, which God gave us as a scripture for our mission. But before I share that, I just want to tell you guys a story of, some of you know what happened about 2 years ago, just less than 2 years ago. We talking now about speaking life. This is so significant. Nathan was conceived around December 2 years ago. And Hester woke up one morning. It was actually Tiens and Melissa's wedding, the morning of their wedding. And Hester woke up and she started bleeding. So we went to the doctor that morning for an emergency checkup, because she wasn't feeling great and this wasn't looking good. And the doctor basically told us that, it looks like this is basically the signs of a miscarriage, and it will probably be best for you just to, just to get it over with and get the scrape done and that you carry on with life. And he's a Christian and everything, and he just said, look, this doesn't look good. And so obviously, for us, we had to make that decision. Are we going to accept what the doctor says? Are we going to accept the fact that this is just going to be another miscarriage, because so many people have miscarriages and that's kind of the norm? We've had two healthy pregnancies, so, one out of two, I guess that's not, or one out of three, that's not that bad. Or we can make a decision to start to speak life. And I just felt the Spirit of the Lord in that doctor's consulting room just saying to me, don't accept this. This is not what you need to accept, because I am the bringer of life. And so we got a few people in church together that morning, or not in church, just a couple of our friends and at our house, and we just prayed over Esther, and we spoke life over that seed that was sown. And so we went back to the doctor the next morning. She had blood tests done, or she had to just check if her blood, she took pills or something to increase her blood count. And it sort of didn't really increase as much as it should. And the doctor said, okay, well, I'm going on leave, so there's another doctor you can see, or you can just do it on Sunday morning, get it over with and have a holiday. And we thought, no, we're going to trust God. We're going to wait. And so that time we prayed, and 2 weeks later we went back to the doctor, and it wasn't the same doctor, it was another doctor that stood in for this guy, and she just, there was a heartbeat when she put the machines on. We could hear a heartbeat, and there were still clots of blood around, and she said, yes, well, there's still signs of whatever, but there's life. There's life, and today that little life is walking around our church. Today that little life is like what one of my friends called, there's an X factor about him. There's something in his life like an X factor. And you know what that X factor is? It's Jesus Christ. The life of Jesus, which is in every baby, but he's a miracle. And this morning when we were praying, it was so amazing. He was like, he does this like giving out, you know, he picks up something and then he like gives it to you. You know, he wants you to take it. And he was like giving it to the people praying. And it was a picture of me, of this life that he has received. He wants to give. He wants to give this life that he has received. But he came about because we spoke life. Amen. Calling Nathan back to life. And God has called us, guys, to speak life, to prophesy, to preach, to proclaim, and to declare. Because there's power when we speak life. Isaiah chapter 40, from verse 1 to 5. I just want to read these few scriptures and just say a few things about it. And then we're going to practically do this right here in our area, over the school. Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. See, Isaiah was called here to speak comfort to the people of Israel. And I believe that we, as a church, have been called to speak comfort to the city. We've been called to speak comfort to this nation and to this province. Amen. You see, Isaiah had to speak certain things. He had to speak, first of all, that the warfare has been ended. In other words, that the people of Israel were no longer slaves to captivity, that their captivity was going to end. And for us today, I believe that means that we need to speak to people and tell them that they no longer need to be captive to their circumstances. They no longer need to be captive to their sin. They no longer need to be captive even to themselves. You know, because as people, we are captive to ourselves. Isn't that so? Unless we find life outside of ourselves, there isn't life in ourselves. Isn't that so? Let's just consider our own lives and see, has there really been life in our own lives without Christ? Has there been life outside of the fullness of Christ in our lives? And so Isaiah was called here to tell these people that God was busy doing a new thing. God was going to do something else, and he was going to call them out of captivity and out of bondage, and that their warfare had been ended. And then he says that you must tell the people of Israel that their iniquity has been pardoned, that God has forgiven them. Because yes, they were disobedient. Yes, they were just, you know, deliberately, you know, hardkoppig. They were very, very hard and stiff-necked. So they moved out of God's purposes and they were taken into captivity. And so for us today, the same thing is that Christ has forgiven us. Christ has forgiven everyone on the cross. Christ has forgiven all sin. But you see, this needs to be spoken. And Isaiah was called here to tell the people that God was busy doing a new thing. And then he goes on, he says that God has received, or they have received already from the Lord's hand double for all their sins. And now the commentators are a bit uncertain as to exactly what this means. Does this mean that they were punished double for their disobedience? Or does it mean that their punishment has been fulfilled? Or does it mean that the Lord has actually given them abundant life for the sins that they committed? And so I think it's both. I think God has already dealt with their sin. Yeah, God has made provision. He's allowed them to get into captivity, and so they've learned a few lessons. And now God wants to release them, and he actually wants to give them a double blessing, because there's a lot of other scriptures that talk about God as given a double portion. And so I'm the Lord showed me like this picture of those who understand rugby will know. You know when they talk about a 14-point turnaround? Anyone know that? Like when you're on the receiving end and you're almost having a try scored against you, basically you're on your own try line, you're defending like crazy, you cannot contain this incredible onslaught of attack, and you think if something doesn't happen now, then basically these people will score a try. And what happens? Peter Rousseau or John de Villiers or Brian O'Banner or someone gets an intercept. And the All Blacks are basically on the line and basically there's an overlap, but someone intercepts. And from their own try line, they run and score a try. And they talk about a 14-point turnaround where it should have been 7 points against you. You are now 7 points up if the tries were converted. And that's what I see Christ came to do for us. I see Christ came to intercept where we were basically... It was impossible. If the pass went right, then the All Blacks would have scored. The enemy would have scored. Then we would have lost the game. But Christ Jesus came to intercept that ball. He came to give us a double portion. He came to give us a 14-point turnaround because we should have lost in our sin. Amen. We should have been defeated, but Christ came to intercept that ball. He dealt with our sin and He dealt with our shame and He dealt with all of that stuff. He came to give us life. And this is the message that Isaiah was called to tell the people of Jerusalem. And then he gets specific and he says, there's the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. I see this crying as a prophetic voice, as someone telling people, listen, yeah, this is not just a good message. This is an urgent message. This is a message of passion, a message of hope, a message that shouldn't be taken lightly. It's not a voice of one speaking lightly. It's a voice of one crying. A heart of compassion and a heart of urgency. Prepare the way of the Lord. And for them, back in the day, it was the first coming of Christ. They had to speak about the first coming of Christ because Christ was going to come and make a new way. The law was going to be done away with and all that stuff. But for us, I believe, we need to prepare the way for the second coming of Christ. It's interesting that Isaiah 40 starts exactly like Mark 1. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Because Isaiah 40 to 60, what's it, how many books, Hain? 64, 66? 29 books of the second part of Isaiah. There's 29 books in the New Testament. 39 books of the Old Testament. Isaiah 1 to 39 talks about the Old Testament. Isaiah 40 prophesies about new life. The law has been done away with. There's someone coming to save you. The voice of one crying in the wilderness. And I believe for us, living past the New Testament, living on the other side of Christ's coming, this is what we've got to tell people, that Christ is coming again. Amen? To prepare the way for people. See, there's been a way that's been made. And Isaiah 35, Yanni talked about it. It's one of the scriptures some of our prayer partners gave us. Isaiah 35, verse 8, it talks about the highway of holiness. There's a narrow way that's been prepared. And you know what's sad about the world today is people don't know that there's a narrow way. People think all ways lead to God. Isn't that so? That all ways lead to heaven. And it's a wide road. It's so easy to get through this gate, but it's not easy. It calls you to lay down your life. It calls you to give up your life and to say, Christ, your life. Only you have made this way. You see, but what's amazing about God is that what's impossible for man is possible for God. Nothing is impossible. And this is the message, guys, that I believe we've got to tell. We've got to tell people that every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill brought low, everything that stands in the way of people coming to Christ, there's been a way made for that. The crooked places shall be made straight and the rough places smooth. And what's amazing is that the glory of the Lord shall be revealed and everyone will see it. You know what's sad? Some people will see it, but they will not be able to enter. Lord, Lord, but we did all these things in your name. I never knew you. Lord, we can see your glories here, but you know what? Didn't know you. And I love you, but I gave you the choice. The Bible has been written. The good news is there. Jesus died. God did everything. But somewhere along the line, there's going to be a judgment day. And you know what? One day, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. Everyone will see the glory of the Lord. But some people will be too far to enter in for eternity. You see, when the mouth of the Lord speaks these things, it's going to come to pass. So I believe that as a church, I believe this is what we're excited for, to speak life over the Free State. We're excited to speak life over this nation. To I sense God wants to release His joy again. Amen. And for our mission, we saying to the people, you know, let's enjoy this mission. It's serious and it's all this, but let's go out in the joy of the Lord. Let's not make this a heavy thing, because we have life. So we should be speaking life. It's a serious thing. It's an urgent thing, but it's a joyful thing. Amen. It's joyful to come to the house of the Lord. It's joyful to be in God's presence. It's joyful to do the will of God. There's nothing like it. And especially when we know the Lord, mouth of the Lord has spoken. When the Lord says something, you know what? It will come to pass. It doesn't matter what people say. It doesn't matter what we feel, what circumstances say. God's will come to pass. And so just quickly, I mean, this is a whole sermon on its own, but I just want to quickly go, just look at what did God call Isaiah to tell the people? And this is what I want us to see this morning as we go out to pray. God called Isaiah, and if you read the whole of chapter 40, it's quite simple. He called Isaiah to tell the people, because in verse 6 he says, "But what shall I cry? What shall I tell this people?" And God says to him, "Tell the people that all flesh is temporary, but God's word is eternal." Tell people that. Tell people that the word of the Lord is the only thing that's going to stand one day. That's one of the things from verse 6 to 8. I'm summarizing very quickly now. Then secondly, God says to Isaiah, tell the people that I love them, that I want to gather them. I'm a shepherd to my people. I want to gather my people. I'm not against my people. I'm for them. I want to gather them to myself. I'm the great shepherd. And then he goes on and he tells them, also tell them that the nations are as a drop in a bucket, that I am this awesome, all-knowing, all-powerful, all-present, all-awesome, and amazing God. It takes lots of verses to go through who God really is. The nations are like a drop in the bucket to me. The islands I can just make go under the sea and they're nothing. But I am this awesome and amazing God. And then lastly, he ends off, and we'll just read through those verses again. Some of you know them. He's telling Isaiah to tell people that man without God is dead, but God knows and has made a way. What is this? What is this simply? This is the gospel. Amen. God has called us to preach the gospel, to tell people that, you know what? Nothing else is going to stand except me. That's what God wants to say to the people. Have you not known, have you not heard the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might to increase the strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That is the end of Isaiah chapter 40, saying that those who wait on the Lord are going to renew their strength. And obviously it's also for people who know God and who've grown weary, but I believe it's also for those who don't know God. That if they start to actively seek and pursue God, because that waiting isn't a passive waiting. And I just want to say this morning, God is waiting for us, guys. We are not waiting for God. God is waiting for the church to stand up. God is waiting for the church to go and do the works He's called them to do. And so it's not a passive thing. It's an active seeking of God. The gospel of Jesus Christ needs to go out into the city. It needs to go out into this nation. It needs to go out into wherever we go to speak life. Because that comfort isn't a nice feeling comfort. The comfort and speaking comfort to Israel isn't a speaking comfort of just go on in your life. You know, God is okay with your sin. God is okay. That's not the comfort, because that's not going to comfort people. Comforting isn't saying you're okay like you are. Comfort is when we become like Christ. That's the most comfortable place, is to be in the will of God and to become like Christ. And so that's the comfort that God wants us to speak. He wants us to speak hope. He wants us to speak life. But people need to repent. Amen. People need to turn from their wicked ways and to hear God's voice. And it's a hard gospel. It's a difficult gospel. But you know, the church, the charismatic church, has preached a very watered down gospel. A gospel it's okay. There's prosperity and there's blessing and just let God serve you. And just you know, give your money to God, give your life to God, but you know, God is gonna serve you. But there's a gospel of repentance. You know what the first thing that Jesus said in Mark chapter 1? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Turn away from your wicked ways, because your wicked ways lead to discomfort. But my life that I want to give you leads to comfort. And so, I believe that this is what we need to do currently. The city of ours needs freedom. Bloemfontein needs freedom. The province of the Free State needs freedom. Not a lot of rain. You know, rain is great for the farmers, but it's just amazing all this drought that has happened, and praise the Lord for the relief. But you know what we do? We just want God to send us rain so that we can be comfortable again, so that we can make lots of money, so that we can't suffer. And I believe God is not calling us just to pray for rain. He's calling us to turn from our wicked ways. He will send the rain. God can send the rain right now if He wants to. God doesn't even need clouds to send the rain. The other day, my son and I were talking, and he's saying, but we've prayed to Jesus. Why doesn't it rain? How does Jesus bring rain? You know, I love it when we start to engage with a kid. You know, how does Jesus bring? I said, no, the clouds. Can Jesus just bring? I said, yes, He can bring rain, but you know, He's put processes in place. He uses clouds to bring rain. They just get very full, and then He drops the rain. And it's so amazing. But then he can't understand it. We've prayed already. Why isn't there rain? And so many people are like, but we've prayed. No. It's not about praying for rain. It's about, is your heart serving God? Are you loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Are you laying down your life for God? He will send the rain. He will provide it. Yes, we must intercede and pray for rain, but I think we must more pray that souls would turn to Christ. Amen. I think we must pray that people get a hunger for God at this time. Just before we go, and I'll explain now how we're going to do this, but this week I had an encounter with God. Three guys came to visit me at the office. Two of them happened to be here this morning. But they started to talk to me about it, and they're going to plant a church here, and they're going to come visit our church, and Payman and Nigel are here. Where's Nigel there? And another guy with them, Roger. They're going to be planting a church as part of the Frontier Fellowship. It's NCMI Church, is it right? Or New Frontier, sorry. And they just said, you know, they want to come and visit our church because they're not going to plant just yet. They want to get a feeling of the city and all that. And I asked them a question, and I could see it really made us all think. I said, what do you think is the current spiritual climate in Bloemfontein? What is it that we need to go up against? What do you think is the stuff happening in the spirit in Bloemfontein? What is going on? And I could see the one guy, he's not here this morning, Roger, I could see his brain just ticking over. He's a bit older and a bit wiser than the rest of us. He's got some years of experience. But I could see, and he said, you know, thank you for asking that question. And he started to give me a download of what just resonated in my spirit, exactly what I believe we're up against in the city and what I believe we need to pray for. But he said three things. He said, first of all, he said, I believe the city the city is hurting. The city is in pain. There's pain in the city. There's this brokenness in the city. There's this hurt. And I was like, almost felt like crying. I felt the heart of God. You know, God is very joyful and God is excited about life and God gives life. But there's another side of God that weeps and that mourns for the pain in the city. God is not very joyful over certain people because they're hurting and He's hurting with them. And so I got excited because I said, God, this is like Fred's vision for the whole of Shofar now. We're supposed to be healing the broken heart. We're supposed to be restoring the ancient ruins. We're supposed to be repairing walls that have been broken down. So that's the first thing he said. The city is in pain. The second thing he said is there's a spirit of death over the city. People speak death over the city. You know, people don't stay here. They speak death. They come in and then they realize this is such a... Or they don't even come in. They actually just drive past. And now I'd rather stop at the Caltex or the Shell. You know, I don't... Is there a place here next to these big service stations on the N1? Yeah, it happens to be called Bloemfontein. There's actually life here. There are people here. But there's a spirit of death over the city. There's a principality over the city that needs to break. I was like, yes, Lord, we're going to do this. That's what I'm called for. Amen. I'm not called for an easy place. I'm not called for a nice Hermanus. Okay, no, I'm only joking. Andres, if you hear this. next to the sea where it's all beautiful sea breeze. Yes, it's no, we are in the hot desert. Amen. To speak life. Springs of living waters coming out of life, bringing life to the city. And then the third thing he said is that the city is filled with, it's just fragmented. The city is broken. The city is divided. There's races and there's disillusionment. There's disappointment because the Afrikaner is just hiding in his little lager. He used the word lager. And these are people from outside of our culture. They're not in our culture. They can see a little bit better than we can see. The Afrikaner has hidden in his lager because he's so afraid of what's going to happen to this country. So we're just protecting ourselves. And then the black people are like, they just disillusioned because they thought that, oh, the ANC is going to give them these massive palaces and they're going to live this awesome life. And they're now disillusioned. And there's division in their camp. And we see it in the political atmosphere of South Africa. There's division in the other party, the ANC or wherever. And it's manifesting in the city because the city is so significant in South Africa. It represents the whole of South Africa. This, what's happening in South Africa is happening here. We don't see it. Our eyes aren't open to see what God is seeing. So I was so excited to hear this. It just confirmed why we've been called here as a church, guys. Amen. So we've been called, Shofar has been called for two things, to be the prophetic voice to help eyes to open up. And then also the second thing, which God said to me a couple of years ago. We're supposed to be the prophetic voice, but secondly, we're supposed to be fathering the fatherless. Fathering the city. Fathers and mothers. And that's what we do. Make disciples. To be a mother and a father to the broken and to the wounded. It doesn't help just praying over them and prophesying. We have to catch the lost. We have to father the fatherless. To heal the broken heart. And I believe God is stirring our hearts for that. He's stirring. I'm so excited about next year. But what God is going to do in our church, the community thing, the fathering thing, the life that's going to come. And then we're going to go out into the city. Not play church. Not just be comfortable. So this morning, I feel we've got a bit of time. We've got about 20 minutes now. If we can be back here at, let's say, about 25 to. It's just going on quarter past now. 20 minutes. I want us to walk around the school. Yanni's going to go in front with a guitar. And I want you to just get husband and wife together, or two or three people. We're going to just walk. So you guys just walk in a march. It's going to be nice, okay? I want us to do it in joyful, but please don't like talk too much. Let's pray. Let's pray for Gardenia Park. Let's pray for the school. Let's just walk once around the school and come back here. And then we're going to just share quickly. If God has laid something on your heart, just share it quickly. Okay? My church might go on a little bit longer this morning, but that's okay. God wants us to go out. And just to start to proclaim life and start to see what's happening in the city. Start to see the area that we're in. And then I believe from here, when we go into this week, I trust God to open your eyes to see where the area that you're working in, the area that you live in, the area that you move in. Just open your eyes, your spiritual eyes, and see what God sees. See the brokenness in people. And it can be the richest suburb. I'm going to tell you, often the most worst brokenness is in the richest suburbs. Just ask the Lord to start to open your eyes. And you know what we must do then? It's not to get negative, not to get hopeless and all down. Then we start to speak life, like Toby Mac says. Speak life, speak life. Huh? But not only in the spiritual realm, let's speak to people. Let's start to speak to people. Let's give hope to people. Let's give hope to the hopeless. Healing to the brokenhearted. Let's start to pray for people. Are you guys willing to do that? Because that's what we're called for, guys. It's the most amazing thing, to live life outside of yourself. See what God sees. So if it's born by the Spirit, you know what? It'll overcome the world. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. So I know this is a little bit uncomfortable, a little bit different, but I'm going to pray over us now, and then we're gonna walk out. So if you want to, you can grab a cup of coffee as well. Okay, there'll be time when we walk out, but let's not delay. Guys with prams, ladies with prams, push your baby along, bring the pram. If you really feel you want to stay here and pray, then pray here. But I'd really like us to all walk together. Just as a prophetic act. And just that people can see this church wants to take church out of church. Amen. We don't just want to gather people. We want to send people. We're sending 15% of our church at the end of this year. Almost 30 people we are sending. And out of a church of 200, that's a lot of people. One pastor emailed me because I sent all the pastors a list of the people leaving. He's like, wow, you're doing some serious sowing. I said, I've made a peace with that long ago. Every year we send students, we send people. It's great. Sending people into the world. We're not gathering, we're not building a mega church. And if God wants us to do it, we'll do it. I just want to be obedient to what God's called us to go. Amen. So let's do that this morning. Father, I thank you that you lead us right now, Lord, as we circle the school, God. Even in the suburb of Gardenia Park, God, we pray for healing, God. We pray for life to come forth from our speaking life this morning, God. You have called us to speak a life this morning. And we want to do that, Lord, by your Spirit, Father. Pray that you'd give us utterance. You'd give us words, Lord. You'd give us life to speak. And Lord, where we are broken, God, we thank you that even as we go now, you heal our own brokenness. You heal our own selfishness. You heal our own, Lord, passivity in our hearts. In Jesus' name, we thank you for that right now, Lord. We just worship you, Father. We thank you for this opportunity right now, this prophetic act that we can do to say, God, we want to see your kingdom come. We want to see your will be done in this city, God, and in this province, in Jesus' name.